So in chapter 13 of service marketing, we move to service recovery. So in the previous chapter, we discussed about customer churn, customers not happy with the business or maybe getting better offers from the competitor, decides to move on to a different service provider. That's customer churn. Service recovery is getting back dissatisfied or lost customers. So not always lost, sometimes it's about getting back inactive customers, and sometimes it's about getting back lost customers. So customer churn is not the end of the customer life cycle with a business. You can always reacquire and get back a lost customer. And that is what we will discuss in chapter 13, service recovery. So as I said, there's a difference between service recovery and churn. Churn is a customer deciding to move to a new service provider, to a competitor. Recovery is about getting back an inactive or a dissatisfied or a lost customer. So service recovery is a process and the efforts made by an organization to recover dissatisfied or lost customers by identifying and fixing the problem or making amends for the failure in service delivery. Service failure leads to churn, and poor service recovery reduces the chances to retain a customer. So the moment to identify that a customer is dissatisfied, we discussed about predicting customer churn, being proactive to understand that there is something wrong and the customer may move on. So that's the time that as a business, you need to intervene, act, and address the root cause. Even when the customer has already moved on, you can then still go back to the customer. Depending upon previous insights, you may go to the customer immediately, or you may go after, say, a time lapse of 3 months, 6 months, a year, and then try to reacquire the customer. Depends upon the nature of the service and the reason the customer may have decided to move on. Churn is the activity that takes place when a customer has either left the organization or is on his or her way to leave the company, planning to move because of poor service or maybe better value promise by a competitor. So churn is not the end of the customer life cycle. There is always a scope to get back or recover the lost or the dissatisfied customer. That's what is service recovery. So when we talk about dissatisfied customers, now some customers are very vocal. They will go on social media, Facebook. They will tweet about the bad customer experience. Then there are some who would like to stay quiet and just quietly move on. So let's understand the different types of complainers when customers are not happy with the experience. First, you have the passive complainer. So as the name suggests, this type of customer is least likely to initiate a complaint or an action against the organization. They would not be complaining either to the service provider, or they would not spread a negative word of mouth about the provider. They are passive in their approach and they just would decide to move on when they experience a service failure. So they're not vocal. They would not damage the reputation of the company because they would not spread negative word of mouth on social media. They would not send those lengthy emails to your service center. They don't do any of that. They are not happy with the service. They don't like the value. They don't like how they were treated. And they decide to quietly move on to a new provider. Now, this makes it difficult for you to take action because the customer does not choose to speak about the bad experience, right? You may have seen people loud enough complaining about bad service or bad hospitality in a hotel or at a restaurant. Some just decide to go away and eat somewhere else. So it's difficult to retain these passive complainers because at times they are rigid. They are quiet, but they may be very rigid, and hence it's a little difficult to retain them at times. Then we have what we call the voicer customer. And these customers are the ones who complain, but would complain to the organization and are less likely to complain to their friends or use social media and other sources like consumer forums to complain against the organization and publicly talk about the bad experience. So they would reach out to the customer service help desk or the customer service manager. They may send an angry email to the business owner or the director or the sales rep, the service manager, but they would not talk to their friends about it. They would not go ahead and tweet about their bad experience. They would not post an image of an inflated bill or a bad communication on their Facebook or Instagram profile. They don't do that. They directly raise their complaint with the service manager or the business owner. That's a good category of customers because one, you also get to understand what the customer has been through and you would be able to avoid the same bad experience for your other customers. And this customer does not go ahead on social media. So they, again, like the passive customers or complainers, do not spread negative word of mouth publicity. Then you have the irate customer. Now, these type of customers are the ones who are very upset with the organization and would want to switch to another service provider. They would like to leverage social media to express their unhappiness on their service experience. I had come across an example of a young guy who had traveled to Andaman with his family, wife and parents. And they had booked a resort for their stay on one of the aggregator websites. But when they reached Andaman and in the evening, they reached the resort manager denied their room booking because of the dispute between the aggregator website and the resort management. So this young guy tried reaching out to the service help desk, the phone number, the customer care number, the email of the aggregator website, but to no avail. They were not responsive. They were not able to help. Now, what this guy did was something extraordinary. He created an entire blog, a website with the title, the URL, the name, don't book with the name of the aggregator website. And he narrated the entire ordeal on that website's homepage. So that was the level. He didn't just tweet. He didn't just put on Facebook. He created an entire website spreading the negative experience on the internet for everybody to come, visit, read, share, and comment. So these are what you call irate customers who not only move on, but they would make the bad experience public. They would shame the service provider for the bad experience. So while they may want to give a chance to the service provider to resolve the issue, they are also likely to move to another provider if they get an opportunity. So in this person, he called the service help desk. He tried reaching them, tried multiple phone numbers because he wanted them to resolve, but he was also clearly dissatisfied. And when he travels next, he's not at all likely to book his stay or package with the same aggregator website. So these irate customers could be the real pain for any service organization because once they have a bad experience, they don't just reach out to the service manager or the business management, they talk about it publicly on social media. And this is one of the extreme cases where the person ended up creating an entire new website to talk about the negative experience he and his family had. Then you have the fourth category, which is the activist category. Now, these are customers who love to make a big noise and love to get the attention. So they would go and complain to all about their service experience. They would keep talking about it, how this company does not care about the customers, how they did not listen to the complaint. And they could keep on spreading this negative publicity. They would go on consumer forums online and they would comment on all the posts and they would share images, they would share testimonials, and they would want other people to stop doing business with the service organization. So these are the four categories of complainers: the passive, the voicer, the irate, and the activist. Hence, service recovery is important because you don't just lose one customer. In the case of the irate and the activist, you also lose new potential customers because these two categories of customers or complainers spread negative publicity. Hence, you need to get back customers, resolve their issues. So what are the aims of service recovery? One, quality response to customer issues. Again, go back to the Rater model where we spoke about responsiveness, especially to customer complaints. So one aim, if the first aim is that you need to have a timely, prompt, quality response every time a customer brings up an issue or a complaint. Ensure that you are prompt to respond and acknowledge that the customer has a problem and then start communicating to resolve that problem. Ensure the customer is satisfied after providing the solution to the customer problem. So once you resolve it, you're not done with the resolution. You need to get back to the customer and check if he or she is happy with the solution and has the problem been resolved from the customer's perspective. So ensure that the customer is happy with the solution. Confirm it with the customer. Then be able to retain customers who have experienced service failure. So after you resolve, ensure that you are able to communicate, talk to the customer, and you're able to retain them so that they do not move on to a new competitor or a service provider. Ensure the service delivery process and all processes related to service delivery are revisited to enhance delivery henceforth. So once you have had a problem, once one customer has had a bad experience and you resolve the issue, and then irrespective of whether you are able to retain or not, you need to go back and revisit your internal processes to ensure that other customers do not face the same problem. So if we go back to the example of the guy who had booked a resort stay for his family on an aggregator website, the resort management denied the booking because they had some dispute with the aggregator travel service company. Now the customer called, complained, eventually he managed to stay somewhere else, he created an entire website, a blog. Now the aggregator travel company was not able to solve the problem for the customer, but then they should have gone back and understood what went wrong in the entire process and why did the resort management deny the booking to their customer. And they had to then correct it to ensure any other customer does not have to go through the same bad experience. So after you resolve the problem for the complaining customer, somebody who has gone through a bad experience, go back, revisit your processes to understand if there is a bottleneck, loophole in your internal process. If there it is, then fix it so that the same experience is not repeated for any other customer. So, what should be the service recovery process? It starts with acknowledging that a problem has occurred. You need to own up the mistake, acknowledge that a problem has happened, and you would try your best to resolve it for the customer. So empathize. Understanding the problem from a customer's point of view. Let their customer feel and believe that you understand his pain, not just the problem, but you understand his or her pain and inconvenience. And then say sorry. You need to say sorry to your customer. It's not obvious. You have to be vocal and you have to say sorry to the customer for the inconvenience caused. And then own the problem. Take ownership of the problem. Take ownership of the customer's issue and pain. Let the customer believe that yes, he's reached the right authority and the business would do everything they can to make it easy for him and resolve the problem and then fix the problem. Once you own the problem, you fix the problem. At least try to fix the problem. Sometimes things are out of your control, but you need to try your best and you need to make your customer believe that you've tried your best. And then provide assurance. Now, providing assurance that the problem has been or will be sorted out and it would not happen again. At times, resolution is not instantaneous, right? It may take time. For example, somebody has ordered on your website, you are an e-commerce service provider, and the customer receives a defective product. You can't replace a product immediately, right? You may refund the customer or you may process a replacement request, and then somebody will come, there's a reverse logistics involved, the replacement product is delivered to the customer. So it'll take time. It may take 2 days, it may take 4 days, it may take 7 days. So ensure that it happens and assure the customer that it will be fixed. Own the problem, fix the problem, and provide assurance that one, we will take care of this. Second, this will not happen again. And if required, if possible, provide compensation to the customer. So provide a refund maybe, or maybe a discount coupon for their next purchase. So compensate the customer financially, right? Give them maybe a free meal coupon if you're a restaurant or a hotel. Give them a free meal coupon for the family. Compensate the customer for the inconvenience, for the dissatisfied experience. So acknowledge that there has been a problem. Empathize with the customer. Say sorry. Own the problem. Fix the problem. Assure the customer that you will take care of the problem and this will not happen again in the future. And if you can, if possible, if the cost permits, provide financial compensation or benefits to the customer. Now, even though you may try doing all this, there may still be reasons that customers are not happy. So what are the reasons for failure in customer recovery strategies? One, complaint resolution. Now, complaints on the customers are not resolved as per the customer expectations. We talk about the gap model in service delivery. It's also applicable in complaint resolution. You may do your best to resolve the problem, but the solution may not be satisfactory enough from the customer's perception. And hence, your service recovery fails and the customer still moves on. And if he's an irate kind or the activist kind, he or she may still talk about the negative experience on social media and other public forums. And then you may have a situation where the business, the reps, the managers ignore feedback from customers. So not responding to customer feedback sends a signal to the customer that he or she is not valued and that the organization does not care about their opinion. So if you walk into a cafe, for example, and you complain about air conditioning and the reps there, the waiter, the manager, do not give you a very encouraging response to your complaint and you don't see anything being done about the inside temperature in the cafe, you don't feel valued, right? You walked in to have an expensive cup of coffee in a good ambient place. But when you complain about bad air conditioning or maybe a bad aroma, they're not doing anything about your complaint or your feedback. You don't feel valued. You may not want to come again. You may want to evaluate other cafes in the same locality. So ignoring customer feedback could lead to failure in your customer recovery process. Then maybe you've not empowered your people to make the right call and take decisions. So organizations sometimes do not empower their frontline staff adequately and hence they're not able to resolve promptly any issues which the customer may bring to them. So you need to understand that, can you empower your frontline managers, supervisors, service reps to take certain decisions? Can you give them some authority to take decisions on your behalf and be prompt with acknowledging and resolving the customer's issues? So what could be some effective service recovery strategies. First is feedback. You need to make it easy for the customers to give feedback. Now, in these days, if you go on to any online service provider, for example, Facebook. Now, if you're not happy with Facebook, try reaching out to Facebook. It will be a task for you to go and look for a relevant phone number or email where you could send a feedback. Same is with a lot of other online service providers. They, for some reason, have made it difficult for a consumer to reach to the concerned authority. They may have done it to avoid too many complaints, maybe irrelevant complaints, not so genuine ones, reaching and then increasing the load for the customer service team. But if it is not easy for a customer when he is dissatisfied to reach the business, the right authority to talk about his or her dissatisfaction, you can't expect to recover such customer's business. The customer will eventually move on. Then response. You have to give a prompt response to customer complaints. If I'm not happy about something and I send you a complaint, I may not expect a resolution immediately if I understand that it takes time. For example, a replacement product, it may take time. But what I expect immediately is a prompt response that we received your complaint, we are sorry about it, and we acknowledge your concern. That could be prompt, right? That does not take time. To ensure the response is prompt, and then communicate to the customer. Demonstrate responsibility and accountability. Let the customer know that one, you've received the complaint, it's going to be shared with the right concerned department or authority, and tell the customer expected timelines to resolve the problem. If a customer has complained about late fee being charged, tell them that the complaint has been received, sent to the accounts team, and the customer will hear back in the next 6 hours, for example. So set the expectations right and then deliver. So finally, the treatment, effective outcome-based approach, and one, be fair to the customer. Ideally, give the customer a benefit of the doubt. It's good to err on the side of the customer. Let the customer get the value if required, but ensure that the treatment is fair and prompt. So feedback is important. Make it easy for the customer to share and voice his or her concern. Be prompt with the response, acknowledge it. Communicate that the things, the needed actions are being taken. Communicate the timelines and stick to the timelines and ensure a fair treatment, a fair investigation happens and the problem is resolved. That brings us to service guarantees. And you may have heard service guarantees, verbal, written, sometimes in the contract, sometimes from the sales rep verbally. People, organizations give guarantees to customers to win their trust and assure them of the quality of the services being delivered. So what is service guarantee? Now, one, it is a commitment from the organization to a customer, right? It's a commitment which could either be quantitative or qualitative, but the service provider makes a commitment to the customer that what is or has been communicated to the customer about the product or service would be delivered. So you're giving assurances to the customer. You're telling the customer that, okay, we will complete a particular activity, say in 6 hours. That's a commitment, that's a guarantee that you're giving to the provider. Now, suppose the customer has to travel the next day and he wants certain activities to be completed a day before. So he calls the provider and he checks with them that, can you take care of this today itself as I have to travel tomorrow? And you give him a guarantee that yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, it will get completed by evening 6 p.m. so you can travel the next day. So you're making a guarantee and a commitment. You need to ensure that it gets done. In case the delivery fails or falls short in respect to the commitment, the organization should then compensate the customer. This should, however, be the last resort, but that's a part of the service guarantee. When you make a promise and you make a commitment that we will do it, there has to be a clause that if it does not happen, for example, if you go and buy a real estate property, for example, they give you a guarantee that you will get ownership within, say, 2 years. If it does not happen, then we pay you monthly rent or monthly interest at so and so percent. So they give you a commitment and they tell you that if they are not able to live up to that commitment or deliver as per the committed time, they will pay you financially, reward you financially for the delay and the loss. So that is what is service guarantee. What are the benefits of the service guarantee for the customer and for the organization? Now, for the customer, it gives the customer the confidence the organization has in their ability to deliver the quality and quantity promised as per the agreed timelines. So again, in the rater model, we have AA for assurance. This is about giving assurance to the customer. So when a company is able to own up to a commitment and they're so confident that they are able to write down a financial penalty clause that if we can't deliver by so and so time, we will give you 50% refund or we will give you an extra month free, for example, for a subscription service, the customer feels confident that they are ready to commit because they are confident they can meet the commitment. So from a customer's perspective, they are more assured about the provider living up to the delivery guarantees and commitments. From an organization perspective, they then ensure that all the processes and the quality aspect of the service is of high quality and meets the standard that they have communicated to the customer. The moment you add a financial implication to a promise made, everyone within the organization is then more cautious about delivery expectations, because if not, you don't just lose a customer or you don't just have a dissatisfied customer, but there is a financial implication which you as a function owner or a manager are accountable for. So this drives accountability within the organization. So the benefits of service guarantees, the customer is assured, is more confident in the ability and delivery promise of the provider, and the service provider or the organization ensures that people are more accountable because one, there's a commitment made. Second, there are financial implications of that commitment. So what are the characteristics of service guarantees? First, it has to be meaningful and relevant. You can't have irrelevant guarantees, right? So there are a few services which a customer expects should be provided to them and for which they have made payment. For example, on-time completion, right? If you have booked a wedding photographer, for example, you expect the photographer to reach the venue, say, 15 minutes prior to the start of the ceremony. That's a basic expectation a customer would have. Similarly, if you have bought an insurance policy, you want a commitment that the claim will be settled within 48 hours. If you have a health insurance policy and you're going to get hospitalized, you want a guarantee, a commitment that the claim would be processed within 30 minutes of the request being received. If not, can the insurance provider give you a financial benefit, a financial implication? So the commitment, the guarantee should be meaningful and relevant. For example, an insurance company cannot give you a guarantee that, okay, we will process your claim request within 30 minutes. If not, we give you a 2 days and 3 nights package to Goa. Now, that's a guarantee, that's a financial implication, but is that relevant? Somebody who is going to get hospitalized and may have a bill of 3 lakhs and 4 lakhs and the claim is not processed on time, so they have to pay out of their own pockets. And what do they get as financial penalty is a 2 nights, 3 day package in Goa. That's not relevant. The guarantee and the clauses have to be meaningful and relevant to what the service is and what the commitments were. The customer then should also be able to understand. At times, there are legal terms used, clauses used, which the customer is not able to interpret. That makes it vague and ambiguous. So to a customer, the guarantee the organization is offering should be simple to understand, and there should not be any riders which a customer cannot comprehend. Because what will happen is, this will be a double dissatisfaction. One, the commitment is not fulfilled, the service is not delivered as per expectation, and when the customer goes through the agreement copy, the contract, and finds a service guarantee which he's not able to comprehend, he expects something, he gets something else, he's dissatisfied again. So you need to have guarantees that are meaningful, relevant, and are easy for the customer to comprehend. So that's about service guarantees in this chapter. Look forward to seeing you in the next. Thank you very much.